The following is one of our favorite car talk shows of all time.
Did you make that up?
Yeah.
What is this really?
A random tape I picked out of the box so we could go on vacation.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the medical malfunction department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, I don't know how I could talk to them telling this story, and it's rather embarrassing, but...
Go ahead. I'm here. I'm curious.
You here to support me?
I will. I'm right behind you. I might be out the door, but I'll be right behind you.
I have this device, this health device in my house called the Health Rider. And I guess it's like a bicycle in that it has a seat. In fact, I think I got it from my brother. He used to have this thing, and you hated it, and you gave it to me.
I remember that thing.
And I love it. And it's like a bicycle, except it has pedals that don't pedal. You rest your feet on them, and you push with them, and it has handlebars that you pull on. So it's akin to a rowing machine. But it has a seat, just like kind of like a bicycle seat, but bigger. And so when I can't get to the gym and I'm in a hurry and I'm running late, you know, I'll get in this thing for half an hour and do a pretty good workout. You work up a pretty good sweat.
That's probably why I gave it to you. I don't like
I don't like the sweat. But I discovered that you have to have the right gear when you do this. And if you try to do it in your street clothes,
yeah,
your underwear can wind up in a place that it was never intended to be. And when that happens, it can result in a pretty serious chafe. How do I know this?
It happened to you.
Let's just say it's happened. So anyway, the other day I was kind of running late and I wanted to use the Health Rider, and I have special bicycle pants that I wear with this thing that even have a padded butt area. You know, they're for riding your bike. Well, I couldn't find them. But I wanted to exercise, and I had the choice of either doing it buck naked or with my street clothes on. So I decided that I would apply some petroleum jelly to the area that might get impinged upon if my shorts wound up where they shouldn't have. So I go into the medicine cabinet, and I find the jar of petrolatum jelly, and I apply it to the appropriate area, and I get on the Health Rider, and I start going, and after about 20 minutes, things didn't feel quite right, you know? but I pressed on nonetheless. I just kept going, and I was getting a good workout and working up a good sweat, but it didn't feel as smooth as I thought it should be. But I finished my workout, and I went back to the medicine chest, and this time I had my glasses on, and I grabbed that jar, and it wasn't, in fact, petroleum jelly. It was something called Snow Seal, which is used to waterproof leather boots. And well, it's in the same size jar. The stuff looks the same, and it feels the same. And there ought to be a law about that, shouldn't there be?
There should be.
And
did it do permanent damage?
Well, no, but as you might imagine, it doesn't wash off too easily.
Right? Of course not. It's waterproof. It's for leather boots, man.
So I couldn't get it off, and now I'm like an amphibian. I have a watertight butt. But it's a good lesson in
glasses.
In reading the label. So if you expect your medicines to work correctly and not malfunction, read the label. And don't be in a hurry. Anyway, if your shorts are riding up or your car isn't riding up anymore, give us a call. We'll try to help. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. By the way, when I told my wife the story.
Yeah, she laughed.
Not only did she laugh, but she like threw herself on the floor like she was in some kind of paralysis. Never saw another human being laugh so uncontrollably in my life. And I'm glad I was able to provide her with that.
I think it's nice of you.
And I float better now, too. Anyway, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Doug from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
How you doing, Doug?
Hi, Doug.
Good. And yourselves?
Not bad.
Great. I have a problem with my CV joints. I have a 1990 Honda CRX. It's got 117,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And between about 105 and 110,000, I started hearing a small noise. It was almost like bike cards, you know, or cards in your bike.
Like a baseball card stuck in your spokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
It only happened when I turned left from a stop position. You know, and I was thinking about selling the car, but I couldn't tell the guy, you know, let's only drive right. You know, so,
yeah, you so, can tell them to meet you someplace where there are only right turns.
Absolutely. So,
well, why don't you just fix it?
Well, I looked under the car, and I noticed the crack. There was a cracked boot on the driver's side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I replaced that, you know, refilled it with the grease.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if the dirt got in there and it was just that bad. That,
well,
you know,
it wasn't so much that the dirt got in, it's that the metal got out.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the metal that comprises the joint got worn away. That's why it started making the noise. And all the grease in the world ain't going to fix that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sort of like dropping the chainsaw on your leg and putting Vaseline on it. That'll close it right up.
Yeah. So, you know, now I'm here at 117,000 miles, and it's not just when I turn left from a stop position. It's when I turn left, right, when I'm going fast, going slow. It doesn't matter.
And pretty soon you won't be going fast or slow. You won't be going anywhere.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because it's going to break.
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh,
is
yeah.
my axle going to fall off, or is the wheel going to fall off?
All of the above.
Well, the wheel won't fall off.
Yeah.
The wheel will not fall off. It's very likely that the axle will just shear itself off.
Right, and then the wheel won't turn.
Huh.
So you need to... But,
and you're on the verge of it if you've been driving all this time.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse and worse.
But you don't drive this car far from home anymore, right?
No, not at all.
How long it can last.
Yeah, keep copious notes.
I'll tell you, very often customers will come in with a similar noise, and I will tell them, look, you've got to replace the axle because it's going to break. And the question everyone asks, because it's fairly expensive, is how long can it go?
How long do I have, doctor?
And I don't know, so I'm relying on you, Doug. You could be, Doug, the Chuck Yeager of CV Joints.
I guess I'm just trying to push my luck, though.
You could go to Mach 2.
Because, you know, on this car, I haven't replaced the timing belt either.
Oh, I love it.
And that should be done, between 60 and 80, somewhere around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, you're pushing the limits, and that's wonderful.
We need people.
Just hope and pray.
That's what America is all about, Doug.
At some point, you're going to step on the gas, and the car simply isn't going to move.
Uh-huh.
And just pray that a semi is not barreling down on you when you're taking a left turn across a highway, and that's the end of Doug.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That's the only real problem, unless maybe you could install some kind of an ejection seat.
Yeah, I would get my affairs in order if I were you. Good luck, Doug.
But if you want to sell the car, I mean, you got to spend a few $100 and get it fixed.
Yeah.
And by now, you might need all of them. You might need both sides.
Okay.
See you.
Great.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Your help.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is true. I mean, Doug could be the one.
Well, I mean, someone has to, you know, push the envelope, as they say.
Well,
we don't know.
To put him in a category of Chuck Yeager, it didn't occur to me, I must admit. But you're absolutely right.
Well, he may be closer to who's the guy that took the weather balloon flight?
Larry Walt.
Larry Walt. He may be closer to Larry than Chuck, I think.
Same idea, though, you know.
For those of you who don't remember, Larry Walters is the fellow who bought at an Army surplus store a bunch of weather balloons. And filled them up with helium and attached them to an aluminum lawn chair.
Yeah.
And sat in the lawn chair, armed with
a BB gun,
and that's about it.
He had everything tied to the bumper of his car,
he cut
himself loose, and managed to climb to 20,000 feet above Los Angeles.
And his idea was that he would, in order to descend, he would shoot out the balloons one at a time, and after having shot out a few, he dropped the gun.
What a man.
But I can see Doug doing that. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hi, Amy. What's up in Boca Raton?
First of all,
it's about 100 degrees, right?
Yeah, it's pretty warm. I have the air on now.
Is Boca Raton near Del Boca Vista?
I have to check the map for that one.
So what's up?
Well, I need a male perspective.
You're going to get it now, yeah. Kid.
I hope my husband listens to this. I realize it's my problem. I really know that, okay? But
if you want male and female perspective, I can go put on my dress. I usually bring it to the studio.
Yeah, no, that's a little too scary for me.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it's required. Go ahead.
I'm not a very good backseat driver, mm-hmm. and I'd like to sort of do a little better. Now I have to preface this with two things. My husband has a really good excuse. He's really, really smart, and so he just doesn't have a lot of room in his brain for like a lot of details, like which side of the road to drive on.
Oh, I getcha.
Down here in Florida, we have a lot of grassy medians.
Yeah.
So you really have to stay on the right side of those.
You should. You really should.
Right, because
yeah.
Otherwise it's on your, head on into oncoming traffic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you should stay off of the median itself as much as possible.
He knows not to drive on the grass. He's really good about that.
Okay.
But it's the heading into the oncoming traffic. Mm. And he doesn't do it all the time, obviously. But sometimes he looks like he's going to do it. And I always kind of go, edge it, edge it. And I try to say, go on the right, honey, but he gets really mad at me.
Yeah.
And he always says, I know that.
Yeah.
But a couple times when he's really actually driven for quite a ways on the left-hand side, it has kind of frightened me.
Yeah, as well it should.
Well, maybe he only does this when you're in the car.
Well, we had a friend in the car once when he did it.
How can I say this tactfully?
Delicately?
Delicately.
Yeah.
How old is your husband?
Oh, 35.
Just give me a decade.
35?
And what does he do for a living?
He's a professor.
Oh, jeez. What does he teach? Art history or something scientific?
No, ocean engineering.
Yeah, scientific.
Yeah, really scientific. Theoretical.
His problem is...
His field is too wide. See, when you're in the ocean, you don't have to worry about wings.
Yeah. Oh, he should study, microbiology.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He needs to change fields. I think then he'll have a respect for staying in his own lane.
Now, I know his problem. He's driving along, and driving can be boring, and so his mind wanders.
Right.
And he's working on some oceanographic problem.
Right.
And he's not thinking about what he's doing. And
right.
I think you're going to have to just continue to do what you do and say, hon, right, right. And,
yeah.
And he's going to have to learn. And if he gets angry... Don't forget, when men get angry, here's the male perspective, it is because they are guilty as hell of what you have accused them of, and they are using the only defense they know, which is a
yelling.
Good offense. What do you mean, right, right? Of course I know I'm supposed to drive. Of course he knows he's supposed to drive on the right, but not at that particular moment did he know it.
Right.
And he's working way too hard.
He is.
The ultimate irony is that his actual area of expertise is in what they call control. which is giving, all of the computer knowing when where to go and what to do.
Huh. Would he object to your driving?
Of course, no. He's a man. The man's got to drive.
I sort of say, should I drive, honey? Mm. And he goes, no, I can do it.
Sure, he would say that.
I don't want, then at that point, I can't say, no, I think I'll drive.
I know what to do. So you have to be very, very careful how to do this.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Well, I bet we couldn't have come up with the same thing.
Well, go ahead.
Here's my plan.
Yeah.
Next time you have the car and he's not around, you take it to the dealer and you have them change the ignition lock.
Uh-huh.
So that his key doesn't work anymore. And also, the door key won't work anymore.
Really?
Right? So you get to the car, and you're all getting into the car. He tries to get in. It won't work. So you have to go around to the driver's side and say, oh, let me try it, hon. You open the door, you hop in. So every time he tries to drive the car, it won't work. It won't go.
Oh, see, I was thinking of the thing our friend Vito uses all the time. We have a friend Vito who insists he has to drive because if he doesn't, he pukes. So you stick him in the passenger seat, you drive a half a mile, and he's hurling chunks right down the defroster vents. And I don't know whether he really gets car sick or he induces car sickness, but if nothing else, he always ensures that he drives.
Yeah.
And obviously he feels safer, and he doesn't puke when he's behind the wheel.
And I tell you how he convinced us of this. one time when he wasn't driving, he gave us this pull over story.
He runs into the woods.
Runs into the woods.
Of course, none of us follow him because we don't want to be there. And we hear, ah! Ah!
Then he comes back and he has to lie on the grass for 20 minutes to recover. And then he announces to us,
I have to drive.
I have to drive.
Now,
and ever since then, he's any time we go somewhere and he's in the car, he has to drive. I like that even better.
So this is it, Amy. Yeah.
This is truly a male perspective. Barfing was not something I had thought.
See, you would never think of the duplicity that men would think of.
No,
never. Actually, women are usually pretty good at this, but I'm sure it would have come to you eventually. But I think you need to run off into the woods. Do what Vito did, and then convince him that you don't know what's happened, but unless you drive from now on, this is going to be repeated over and over again.
Oh, you have to just try it out. Say, maybe if I drive, I won't get as car sick.
Right.
And he'll say, try it, hon. And you say, oh, I feel so much better behind the wheel. Because I'm not worried about you, you moron. You say that last part to yourself.
Try it out, Amy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, guys. Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, before we stumble through more of your calls, we need to take a break.
What? You want our answers already?
Are you kidding? I got 3 choke pull-offs, 2 heat shields, and a fuel pump relay in the bag all ready to go.
Well, that ought to cover us for another 20 minutes.
20 minutes? I think I'm good through October, actually.
We'll be back in a minute with more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
You keep the TV, I'll take the car. I need the wheels starting because I'm going far, far away. I'm driving far away. You know you're going to miss me. You're going to cry, but look for me. You just see taillights waving bye-bye.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and killing time at work.
Mm.
Now, our regular listener knows that the Puzzler has been AWOL for several weeks now.
Our regular listener? We only have one listener now? We had 6.
We may be down
to one.
To none. We don't know. But should you find yourself in urgent need of a Puzzler, if you suddenly turn to the person next to you and say, whoa, I got to take a Puzzler. All summer long, we'll be posting classic Car Talk Puzzlers.
That means used Puzzlers, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Well, I prefer classic. Anyway, we're putting classic Puzzlers on our website, cartalk.com, all summer. But in the meantime, if you've got a car problem that can't wait, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marisa from New York.
Marisa?
Yes.
M-A-R-I-S-A.
Nice. Yes, very good.
Cool name, Marisa.
Thank you.
From New York City?
No, upstate.
No, whereabouts?
Just outside of Woodstock, Shokan.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we all know where Woodstock is, but no one's ever heard of Shokan.
Well, it's about 5 miles past that.
Oh, no, I know where it is. Someone said to me, I was there one time, someone said, can you get to Woodstock from here? And he said, sure can.
Yes, right. Very good.
How did I know?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, Marissa, what's up, kid?
I got a 1993 Chrysler Town & Country that has the mystery noise.
Oh.
Front end, mechanic says, bring it in, I need to change your brakes and turn your rotors.
Yeah,
got it.
Ever since he did that, I've got this noise that won't go away.
Uh-huh. And you didn't have the noise before.
Right.
Well, why did you go in? Why did he say, come in and I have to replace your brakes and your rotors?
Well, he said, you know, it's time to have the brakes done.
He actually called you up to tell you this?
Well, no, I see him frequently.
You have a little thing going with him?
No.
Does Osmond know about this?
Yes.
He does, huh?
We travel so often that we need oil changes like once a month, so.
Oh, we don't want to know any more than this. Okay.
Okay. So Mario, the mechanic,
right,
calls you and says it's time for you to do your brakes, and you bring it in. And he replaces, again, the pads, and he replaces the rotors, or he turns the rotors.
Turns the rotors.
Okay, after which you have a noise.
Right.
Give it to us.
It was like a grinding noise at first.
You'd hear it especially
when you're
loudly stepping on the brake.
Yes.
It would sound like this.
Right, very good. Now I have like a squeaking noise as I'm going down the road really slow. Right, exactly. So, exactly. Oh, it's perfect. I can't do that. Now, it squeaks and it knocks and it does all this stuff. And then when I hit the brakes, the noise goes away.
Interesting. So,
yes.
It used to make the noise when you stepped in the brake, and now the noise goes away when you step in the brake.
Exactly.
So, you can't say that Mario has done nothing. He's certainly done something.
Yeah, I don't know. And well, he cut the rotor. He says, I can't do it anymore. I can't grind it down anymore, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's still making noise. I don't want to replace the rotor. What do I have to do?
Why not?
Because I've already put a new transmission in this car.
Well, that's not going to fix the brakes.
I know, but I can't afford it.
Well, and did he know that when you took the car into him that you were adamant about replacing the rotors?
No.
You made some noise about this?
No. He just turned them. He said it was time they needed to be turned.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was his mistake. We have found out that we cannot machine these successfully most of the time.
Ah.
That one of several things happens, but the most prevalent thing is that they don't machine true and you get a slight run out of the disc, which will cause that noise that you refer to. Because as the high spot comes around,
it's rubbing against the pad.
It's deflecting the pad and the little bracket, and it's especially annoying when you're going very slowly,
right,
because all the other noises are gone when you're going slowly. You don't hear the roar of the engine,
right,
the tire noise. So you're going 7 miles an hour, and the only noise you can hear is this.
The roar
exactly.
of the grease paint.
Right. Yes, the smell of the crowd.
So what do I do?
Well, I think
you're going to have to go for it.
You bite. And the reason it made the other noise, by the way, is that when he machined them, he didn't get the factory type of finish on the discs.
Okay.
And what you were hearing is the process of the metallic pads mating with this rougher surface than should have been there.
Right.
Of the machine disc.
Okay.
Over time, that would have gone away because everything would have found its way home and smoothed out.
Right.
So had you been patient and not gone back and complained, all your problems would have been gone in probably another 2 days.
Really? But this has been months.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you'd waited 2 more days, the noise would have gone away.
Oh.
And you wouldn't have the... Now he's machined them so much that they're so thin, he can't machine them anymore.
Oh.
And now, if he's a good guy, he'll give you the 2 new disc rotors at cost.
Can I only get one? Or do I have to get 2?
Cheapskate. No, you can try one, certainly. You can try one.
It won't mess it up.
No, it won't mess it up.
No.
Try one.
All right.
And that should do it.
Well, you guys have been a great help.
We have, yes, you
I
are.
I really appreciate it.
All right, Marissa.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Good
luck. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mike Jetik from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I am doing fine. How about you guys?
Not bad.
We're doing great.
Good.
So what's going on?
I have a 1980 Buick LeSabre, 350 engine.
Yeah.
I bought it 3 years ago, not quite, with 82,000 miles.
Wow, God pretty good.
God knows what that means. The car came from, supposedly from Texas, got no rust on it. This is the purpose I bought it, I think. But drinks the oil more than I.
Hey, what is this wonderful accent that you have?
I'm going to guess.
Where are you from?
Milwaukee.
You were born in Milwaukee, huh?
Oh, no, I'm not born in Milwaukee.
No, I'm going to guess this is European.
Yes, you got
East,
right.
Eastern European.
In case if you are Italian, I'm your neighbor.
Albania.
No.
Yugoslavia.
Yes.
No Yugoslavia. Kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, my brother thought you were Cuban. He had written down Cuban cigars. He wanted to see if you had a connection, but...
Well, we can do later, huh?
We can discuss it. Because they have to go through somewhere.
Yeah, gotta go somewhere.
Yugoslavia is as good as any place.
Sure, we don't care. So this thing burns oil, huh?
Yeah, I burn one quart on about 250 miles.
Oh, really?
That's bad.
Yeah, bad.
But first of all, do we know that it's burning and not leaking?
No, I'm very, very cautious about leakage anywhere. Doesn't leak nowhere.
It doesn't. Okay, and do you see smoke coming out the back?
Well, if I start the engine earlier in the morning when the air is kind of cold, I can see a little smoke coming. But after when the engine gets hot, I don't see...
Trust me, it's there. We have this discussion with everyone. It's called the denial phase. I mean, you know it isn't leaking because you're scrupulous about checking for leaks.
Uh-huh.
So, and you don't want to believe it's burning it because you know what that means. So you're hoping that there is some other explanation, like maybe thievery. That someone's coming at night and taking the drain plug out and stealing a quart of oil exactly every 250 miles. They must look in. They look at your odometer. Okay, yeah. Mike drove 250 miles. Time to steal another quart of his oil.
Yeah. It's done automatically by some aliens.
Right.
Martians, right?
Martians. So, but you know, and you but are reluctant to accept the fact, obviously, that the oil is being burned by the engine, and it's going to require some work. If you're lucky, it could be merely bad valve guide seals.
Okay.
You need to go someplace and have them remove one of the two valve covers.
Okay.
And when you do that, you will be looking at the rocker arms and the push rods.
Yes.
And also the valves and the springs around the valves.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in between the coils of the springs, you should see a rubber seal that looks like, an umbrella with a hole through it for the valve stem.
Yeah.
If you see that they're all broken and pieces, because what happens after 20 years is they get brittle and they disintegrate.
Uh-huh.
And what can happen then is that device, which is supposed to shed the oil and prevent it from being sucked in through the valve guides, is not doing its job.
Uh-huh.
So you may need to have the valve guide seals replaced.
And if you see them broken, immediately fall to your knees and thank your creator, because you will have just saved about $2,000.
Do I have to, when I do that, do I have to park, face the car east?
Yes.
The face of the car?
Park so it's facing Mecca. You have to cover all possible deities.
I thought it was going to help.
Good luck, Mike.
Yeah,
but have them check. Maybe it is the valve guide seals. If not, you need a ring job.
Okay.
But you'll have to call back next week for that bad news.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling.
See you, Mike. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Yeah.
You're supposed to ask me what my name is.
But you're supposed to just tell us.
Okay, hi. Let's start again.
Okay.
Say hi.
Okay, you say hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi.
This is Paula.
Hi.
Hi, Paula. And now we're supposed to ask you where you're from.
Okay.
Where are you from, Paula?
I'm from Cambria in California.
Cambria. This is going to be a tough call.
Yeah, she's got an attitude.
All right, Paula.
Okay.
We're all yours.
Permission to treat the caller as hostile. What's up, Paula?
Well, don't you want to know where Cambria is?
No.
California is pretty big.
Yeah, we know that.
You know where Cambria is.
Where?
Cambria sounds north to me.
Yeah, it sounds like it's near Eureka.
Yeah, not that far north. Actually, we're right by Hearst Castle.
Of course.
Yeah, so it's right by the ocean. It's nice.
Yeah, I bet.
Sun's out. No, yeah. No sleep.
Yeah, go ahead, rub it in. See if you get a right answer. All right, now what do you want?
Okay, I was trying to sell my 94 Toyota pickup.
Okay.
It's a 5-speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short bed.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I was going to sell it, and this guy was real interested, so he took it to a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So he ran a compression test. And he put the car on a machine, and it passed everything until they took a syringe of gas, and they put it into the radiator, And then they draw the gas back in, and if the gas has turned a certain color, you have a cracked head. That's what he told me.
I'm going to try that with my brother. Where can I get this gas?
I don't want to know where you put the gas.
Well, the test they did, we have the same little device. You mount it on top of the radiator, and you actually use a little an eyedropper, but much bigger. As you squeeze this little bulb.
Like a turkey baster.
Like a turkey baster. This thing sits on top of the radiator with the engine running and the cap off.
Uh-huh.
And it sits on the opening. And as you press the bulb, you suck air through this cylinder with the liquid in it. And you, as such, you pull vapors from inside the radiator through this liquid. And if there are carbon unburned hydrocarbons present in that mixture, then it'll turn this stuff from blue to green. However, I found out that over the years that this is an inaccurate test, because if you get any of the liquid from the radiator in there, which in many cases is what? Green. It will change the stuff to green, making you think that you have a blown head gasket or a cracked head when in fact you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, tell the rest of your story.
Okay, so the rest of the story.
Like Paul Harvey.
Good day.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's still sort of mobile.
Oh, no, he's actually pretty good.
See, someday we're going to be saying that about you guys.
This someday.
Our wives are saying it now.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, you know the good part? I don't have a husband to give me a bad time about this.
Ah, good for you.
So, anyway, what happened
Good for
was,
him.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now you're not invited to Cambria.
This is getting nasty.
It is. It's getting ugly. But maybe we can wrap this up in the next 30 seconds or so.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted a second opinion.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I went to another mechanic, and he said, no, I've seen this happen all the time. And he said, a lot of times they will give you a false reading.
Uh-huh.
So what test did he do?
He did no test. He did check the compression and looked at the head. There's no oil leaks. There's nothing wrong.
So now you've decided not to sell it.
Well, no, the guy decided not to buy it. I want you guys to tell him that it's okay.
We can't tell him that.
Because you need another test done.
Because all he's done is, all you've done so far is suggested that the test that was done was inconclusive or wrong. But there's nothing that you've done to prove that you don't need a head gasket. You may well need one. What the heck do we know?
Why?
We're sitting here in the cold, frozen north.
We barely know you.
We just met you a few minutes ago, and you expect us to perjure ourselves for your lousy truck?
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, the trouble is that in order to prove that you don't need a head gasket, you've got to do another test.
Okay.
And the definitive test is to use an exhaust gas analyzer to sniff the vapors coming out of the radiator.
Okay, so that's different because it passes the smog test.
No, that's the tailpipe test.
Oh.
You're going to use that same smog tester to sniff the vapors in the radiator. In other words, the probe that they stick in your tailpipe is now going to sit on top of the radiator with the cap off, and with the engine hot, there will be steam coming out. You hope not contained in that steam are unburned hydrocarbons.
Okay.
If the exhaust emissions tester starts to read 50, 60, 70, 90, 100 parts per million of hydrocarbons, then you have a blown head gasket. Assuming that it stays near zero, you're all set.
So
have someone do that test, and then you can go back to this guy and say, see, I told you.
Yeah.
But he will have bought another truck by then, so don't waste your time.
Yeah. Okay.
But at least you'll know that you don't have a truck that needs a head gasket.
And you can sell it to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even my brother would buy it.
You want to buy a truck?
No,
I'll make you a good deal.
Not from you, he doesn't, no.
Paula, it's been a pleasure. You brightened up our day.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She was trouble right from the beginning.
I knew it. Aren't you going to ask my name?
Aren't you going to ask my name? Who runs the show, us or her?
Well, for the last 8 minutes.
It was her. It was Paula from Cambria, California. Hi, this is... hi, you just called Car Talk. This is Paula.
All right, look, it's that point in the show again when we have to pause for a short break. You know, a little reflection.
Reflection? No, not that. Don't make me look in the mirror again, please.
Come on, see what the rest of us have to put up with.
We'll be back in a minute with more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
So I'm cruising home with the sunroof open and the wind rushing through my hair. Knowing that
that I might have made a rash decision for realizing I didn't care. Cause I just kept inhaling that phrase, the one that's got me right in a spell. And everything is just oh so groovy when I'm smelling that new car smell. It'll change your way of thinking, it'll hypnotize your mind. You can wave goodbye to any trace of logic as you sign all the dotted lines. It's your keen and your aroma makes every new car sell. And don't kid yourself into thinking you can find the power of a new car smell.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this really is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a quiz from my brother.
Who sent this to us? Bill O'Hanlon sent this to us. Everyone knows Vincent Van Gogh, right? But Vincent Van Gogh, it turns out, had lots of relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask you what you think their names were. For example, he had one famous relative who moved to Yugoslavia. What was his name?
Yugoslavia, huh?
Yeah.
That's a hard one, I guess.
That was Hugo. Okay. How about the cousin who moved to Illinois? Shaka. How about the cousin who moved to Mexico?
Mexico. Amigo.
Amigo. That's it. You're getting it now. Here's one. There was a nephew that drove a stagecoach.
Fargo.
Wells Fargo. And the couple of easy ones here. The aunt who was the ballroom dancer.
Ballroom dancer.
Tango. And I'll leave you with this one. The uncle who became an ornithologist in Florida.
Flamingo.
Without the Florida, you know it.
And never in a million years.
Flamingo.
That was it, huh? That was the best.
Hey, you never know. You know, people think of only Vincent, but he had lots of very famous relatives.
I do like Chicago.
Chicago.
All right. If you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Maximilian.
Oh, of course.
Maximilian.
Max.
We'll call you Max for short.
Where are you from, Max?
Max, I'm from Valencia, California.
Yes.
And I'm listening to your program. I enjoy it so much. And I feel you two brothers are real mensch. Not only this, you know, your audience are so funny. And I have a problem, and I thought maybe I'll give you a call, and you might solve the problem I have.
What did you say about the stench? I didn't get all that.
And well, you're right. And if we can't solve it, our audience can solve it, because they're the ones with the brains, and we are the morons.
Well, I've been in the car business all my life. That's why I like your talk show. And last Friday the 13th, I had a problem. And I can't get out of this problem.
Yeah.
You know, the car salesman, they're standing in the driveway waiting for customers.
Uh-huh.
They work on an app system. And I saw one of my salesmen.
What system?
You know, they call it app system.
Oh, the next guy up.
In the driveway, the first one that
first
comes.
First one up, right.
It's his customer.
Yeah, right.
They work on commission.
Of course. Yeah.
And I see one of my salesmen at 5 o'clock go to his bike across the street 10 times and come back to the showroom, change his mind. I said, George, what's the matter with you? He said, Max, it's 5 o'clock. I didn't eat all day. And every time I go to the bike to go to eat, my mind tells me I think a customer will come, and I change my mind. I say, George, I can't believe it. You can't live this way. Why won't you call me? I'll take your turn and you won't lose anything. He said, Max, can I go now? I said, sure. He jumps into his bike. He takes off like crazy. And an old woman just bought a brand new Camry driving by. Bang, he hits her phone pump. My God, what an lucky day. I run down to the woman. I want to help my salesman. The woman comes out of the car. She looks at the front bumper. She say, my God, I just bought this car. I say, well, ma'am, you could have killed my salesman. She said, I know, I wasn't watching. Right. She was so honest. She said, the salesman didn't show me how to turn on the air condition. It was 100 degrees in Valencia. I'm trying to find this air condition. And bang! Now, she thought she hit him. I know
that's
that
good.
He hit her. So I relax. I say, oh, thanks God. I say, ma'am, you're so honest, I'll take care of you. She said, you will? Yeah. I said, I have a big body shop. I'll put a new bumper, and we'll forget about the... I like your honesty that you said that you weren't watching. And I saw how my stupid salesman took off. He looked to the right instead of to the left and took off with his bike. So I take her to the body shop, and I call Rick. I say, Rick, call Toyota. They'll send you the same color bumper. Put four screws. Put the new bumper, and that's the end of the story. So he calls Toyota, and they send him a bumper. And the woman tells me, Max, can I go across the street? There's Target. There's Mervyn Shopping Center while he'll fix my bumper. I said, great idea. And
take the bicycle, right?
No. So she goes across the street. Poor woman didn't know that the body shop closes at 6. 8:30, she comes with 20 bags. She's looking around, no car. The body shop is closed, there's nobody.
I got it. She buys a new car from George.
No, Red, listen to this. This is a real story. I have a problem.
Oh, there's a problem at the end of this story.
They call me from down the street. You say, Max, there's an old nice woman screaming her Toyota, her dog. I say, what dog? I didn't know she had a dog in the car. I take my keys. I run to the body shop. I open this huge metal door, you know, three doors at a time with the chains.
Yeah.
And what do I see? They pushed 35 cars behind her car. Everything went in. I go to the back seat of the car. I see a cage with a little schnauzer. He's dead.
No.
He's with his legs up. I started sweating. My heart started beating. This stupid body man put the car next to the paint booth. Everything locked. Concrete roof in the body shop, 110 degrees. I start sweating. My heart started beating. I said, that's all I need now. I went crazy. I'm lucky I'm working 20 years in Valencia. I know everybody. Right away, I go to the phone, and I call a customer of mine that has a pet store, and I say, Joe, I have a big problem. He said, Max, what's happened? I said, they just killed the schnauzer in my body shop. He said, Max, how did they kill him? I said, it doesn't matter. Do you have a schnauzer? He said, Max, I don't. You know, I like you. If I had a schnauzer, I'll give you one. I said, Joe, you have to help me. He said, I'll help you. He goes to his computer, start locating. He said, Max, you're lucky.
The schnauzer
20 miles from here in Acton, there's a German breeder named Hans shows 12 schnauzers. I said, really? I take the car 300 miles an hour. I come to this breeder. I put the schnauzer on his table, and I say, Hans,
match him up.
I need a miniature schnauzer like this one. He looks at me. He said, Max, you're in the wrong place. I said, what do you mean? They told me you have 12. He said, Max, I do have 12, but those 12 that I have, they're champions. They're purebred. I bring them from Germany. I have all the certificates. This miniature schnauzer will cost you from $15 to $2,000 a piece. I said, what? $1,200 to $2,000? I counted every pocket. I had $375. I said, Hans, I don't need a champion. I don't need a purebred. I want to replace this dead one. All I have is 375. please help me. He said, Max, you don't want to breed them? I said, no, I want to replace this dead one. He said, wait a minute, I have something for you. He goes to his backyard. He comes with a miniature schnauzer. He said, Max, you're lucky. He's a year old. He's home trained. I love him. I don't have any certificate. I'll give it to you as is for $275. I said, great.
No warranty?
No, as is.
As is, right.
I give him right away the $275. It was a salt and pepper gray schnauzer. He takes the dead one. He puts him in a box. He takes the live one. He puts him in a cage. I give him the $275, and I drive down to the dealership, and the woman is walking in the showroom nervous. I come. I say, thanks God. I couldn't believe what I found, the same dog. I say, honey, here's your keys. Here's your car outside. Let me help you with all the stuff you bought. She said, Max, don't help me. I had it today. She takes the stuff. She goes to the car. She looks from the front window. She looks in again. She turns right away to the other side of the car. She looks and says, inside the car. She threw all the stuff she has holding in her hand. She comes to the showroom screaming, Max, in German, she screamed, this is nicht mein Hund. That's not my dog. I say, what dog? I say, Max, don't play games with me. If you won't get me my dog right away, I'll call the police. You'll have a big problem. I say, ma'am, I swear to God, I don't know. Is this your car? She say, Max, when I drove by here, I had a dead dog in the car. I said, what dead dog?
I could see it coming, you know.
What dead dog? She said, Max, where's my dog? I said, I have it. She said, where? I said, Hans. She said, how did you get to Hans? I said, well, I thought they killed him in my body shop. So we went back to Hans. She saw him sitting in a box. She said, Max, you're lucky you have my dog. I thought I'm dying. I didn't know if to laugh or to cry. She takes her dead dog and she wants to take off. I say, ma'am, I really apologize. What happened? Say, Max, you're something else. Let me tell you. I never had any children. This dog is 17 years and 3 months old. And this morning I had to pick up my new Toyota. She went to the bedroom to take the dog. He was dead. So she went crazy. She calls her sister. And she tell him, I don't know what to do. Snoopy died, and I have to pick up a new car. He's all my life. So her sister says, what do you want? He's almost 18 years old. He's blind. Time came. Thanks God you got rid of him. Say, it's easy for you, but that's all my life. She say, well, what do I do? He say, I'll tell you what you do. If you come to Thousand Oaks, the pet hospital, in 48 hours, they'll freeze him, and they'll stuff him, and it looks like alive, and you'll have him forever in your bedroom. Daxtam Domoti, something like this. So she took the dog, and she ran to pick up her car, and that's what happened. And she takes off with the dead dog, and I'm sitting there with my live dog, trying to give him back to the Hans, the breeder. He had the sign, no refunds. And he said, Max, I'm running a business. You own this dog. I said, I don't need this dog. Didn't you see what happened? He said, Max, I don't care. Dead dog, no dead dog. I'm running a business. It's your dog. I said, okay, can I leave it in consignment? He said, sure. I said, give me half the money. I just want him to a good home. He said, Max, we'll see what holidays are coming, see what I'll do. Guess what? This Friday, I get a note from him that he wants $75 a week to feed him. Now I have a payment.
All because
now
you were
I have
trying.
A payment. So what I need help from you, if your audience can find a real good home for this miniature salt and pepper schnauzer. I'll really appreciate it. He's a good dog. He's a year old, but no paperwork.
No paperwork, but house trained.
House trained.
He's house trained.
Right.
Okay. I mean, this is a business we haven't started yet. I mean, we've been matching up people, but we've never matched up pets with people.
Yeah.
So we will do that. Absolutely.
What I really wanted is to give it to the old woman that her dog passed away.
Sure. Yeah.
And I felt bad for her.
Well, this one could play with the other one. It wouldn't be too exciting.
Well, it's not a joke. It's a true story.
No, I know it's a true. You know, you couldn't have made up a story like this. This had to be true. I knew the story was true from the beginning because you couldn't have made it up.
I really want this dog to have a good home because, you know, the whole story is sad in a way.
Sure.
Well, you're a good guy, Max, and you tell a great story. Nobody can tell that story like you told it. And we will find. What, do you have a name for this little schnauzer?
No, I don't have a name.
That's the first thing we have to do is come up with a name.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we may
we'll work on a name, and we'll put ads in the paper every day.
I like this little schnauzer. I go to him every weekend. I have no problem giving him my name.
Yeah, I was going to say
Max
his name should
good.
Be Max.
Max is
good. His name should be Max.
Okay, we'll
Don't
do
you
it.
Think so?
Yeah, Max? I think so. Max is it.
We're looking for a home for little Max.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Good talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're gonna find a home for Max.
Anybody who, first of all, lives in California would be nice, so within driving distance.
He right? ships. He'll ship.
He'll ship. I'm afraid of shipping the little schnauzer on a plane.
No,
so
no.
If you're interested in the little schnauzer, Max... He didn't say whether Max was a male or female.
I think he's a male.
Must be male.
Yeah, I think it's a male.
Yeah.
Yeah, no papers, though.
But no papers. You don't need papers. He's house trained.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Arkansas Lobster Claw, Roast Macaw, Asian Slaw, Ripe Paw Paw, Candy Straw, and Ice Cream Thaw, Fill Your Paw and Stuff Your Craw is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoitz. Our staff naturalist is Deirdre Oppings. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our anger management coach is Violet Temper. Our bail bondswoman is Frida Wander. Our luncheon chef is Hannah Mia Kenatuna. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. And our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the napping construction workers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Yes, don't drive like my brother. I
don't
said it
drive
first.
Like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of this show, which is number 829, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available by calling 888-CAR-JUNK or at the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can subscribe to our free Car Talk podcast.
Oh, so if I miss the show on my local station, I can sign up so it's always on my iPod.
That's right.
And that's free.
Right.
How much does it cost to keep it off my iPod?
Oh, big, big money.
That's what I thought.
Sign up for your free weekly backup copy of Car Talk at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR security closes off the stairway to the roof whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.